So for those that you didn't hear, there are 30-second videos of, like, cats doing weird stuff. So statistics, to put this in context, there are about 7.7 billion people in the world. And of those 7.7 billion, 2.41 billion of them are on Facebook. We've got 330 million Twitter users, a billion Instagram users, a billion YouTube users, and then the title of this presentation is hashtag blessed using social media and trial. And so I looked on Instagram to see how many posts have been tagged with hashtag blessed, and that is about 120 million hashtag blessed posts. So if you are tweeting or Instagramming about this presentation and you do hashtag blessed, you'll be, I mean, just about one in 120 million. So some other interesting facts, LinkedIn has 110 million users. WhatsApp has 1.6 billion. The average time spent on social media is 142 minutes per day. There are an average of 500 million tweets sent every day. That's an average of 6 every second. And so from the time I've been up here, there have been about a million tweets that have been sent out on Twitter. So I am a visual person, so I just thought I'd put a couple of graphs in here. The blue is the number of folks on Facebook in the U.S., and then same thing with Twitter. And so what that tells you is if you have a jury pool, you know, you're going to have 7 or 8 jurors that are on Facebook, and you're going to have 3 or 4 that are on Twitter. So turning to the ethics side of why it matters, the ABA model rule, comment 8, part of it says that we're required to keep abreast of the changes in law, and that includes benefits and risks associated with relevant technology. So, in addition to knowing substantive changes of the law, you need to be able to identify TikTok, apparently, as an app. But it's important to know because social media platforms, that's an area of the law that we have an obligation, and especially since it's a treasure trove of information, we have an obligation to be familiar with it, know how to use it, and know how to retrieve information on those platforms. In February of this year, the Texas Supreme Court amended Comment 8 to the Texas Disciplinary Rules of Professional Conduct. And now our rules also specifically require us to be abreast of the benefits and risks associated with relevant technology. To date, there are about 37 states that have enacted similar, I guess, comments to the model rules that require you to be aware of technology, and I believe that includes being aware of social media. So when we went through those statistics, we look at, you know, why is it important? We've got jurors on it, you've got judges on it, opposing counsels on it, you've got witnesses, your client. So we need to know, how do we interact with, how do we retrieve that information in an ethical manner for those different individuals? And so the first thing I want to do is turn to jurors. Are you allowed to research jurors? And generally speaking, we are allowed to investigate jurors. Should you do that? The answer to that is yes, absolutely. There's a case, the Johnson-McCullough case. And in that case, it was a Med-Mal case. And there was some kind of throat condition, and the plaintiff's lawyer did voir dire and asked the panel, does anybody have any familiarity with, been involved in a lawsuit, either plaintiff or defendant? They got some responses. There was one individual that didn't answer the questions at all. And I think you've probably had that experience where you sit down and you look at your jury panel and you're like, who is juror number 11? I don't know anything about them. And that happened to be the case here. This juror sat through, didn't answer any of the questions about involvement in previous litigation, and wound up on the jury panel. There was a six-day trial, okay, and after 6 days, the jury came back in 40 minutes. Does anybody know what the verdict was? That's correct. So you've got a gift card. Yeah. So the came back for the defendant. And after the trial, plaintiff's counsel went and looked on this resource that's available in Missouri called case.net or something along those lines and researched the potential juror or the juror that was on the panel and discovered that one of the jurors had not answered those questions regarding involvement in previous litigation, but had been a defendant in multiple lawsuits, including a personal injury lawsuit, and that was very recent. And so the plaintiff's counsel filed a motion for new trial. The court said that litigants should not be allowed to wait until a verdict has been rendered to perform a case.net search for jurors' prior litigation history when, in many instances, the search also could have been done in the final stages of jury selection or after the jury was selected, but prior to the jury being impaneled. And so the case, the court said, yeah, this was important, it should have been disclosed, but if you had done your homework, you would have known this. And so, you know, you look at the holding in this case and all the information on social media platforms, I think we could easily extend. And if you have a juror out there that's posting stuff on Facebook that would be grounds to disqualify them, to serve them as a juror, and you just wait, you could potentially, and you get an adverse ruling, your motion for new trial may be deemed untimely.